TFYLP is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com for all your import and third-party transformer needs, and save even more through the CapturedPrey loyalty program. Now offering free basic shipping on orders of $150 or more. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at the hottest toy convention near you or online at facebook.com/mega.toyfan. Mega Toy Fan for all your vintage toy necessities. Let us know you're listening. Whatever social media network you use, give us a mention by using hashtag TFYLP.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I am your host, Weird Wolf. We are recording on April 3rd, 2015. This is episode number 148, and along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, buddy.
Jim Black.
Hello, everyone.
Cyburn 2, a.k.a. Michael Swift.
What's up, everybody?
And also joining us from BotCon is Pete Sinclair. Welcome, Pete.
Hello, thank you.
Brett couldn't be with us this evening. He had some things going on, so he said maybe he might be able to jump in later on if he gets home or something, but who knows? So we'll see. But we're going to be covering some things tonight. Some things that we've actually covered before on the show, but we're getting ready to ramp up with convention season, hence why we got Pete on the show. And we're going to talk a little bit more about convention do's and don'ts, just general convention talk, and also some things that are in the news. And, you know, there was a big reveal this past week with BotCon and the reveal of the first BotCon 2015 exclusive figure in Pack Rat. We'll be talking a little bit about that and some things in the news. Anybody have any news items that they want to talk about right off the bat that has really jumped out at them?
Blue Streak is absolutely beautiful, and I will own it the day it comes out.
Yeah, I have to admit, whenever I saw the pre-orders go up at Captured Prey, our sponsor, there is a limited stock of those coming out. So if you really want one, pre-order one as soon as possible, because I don't think they're going to be around very long. And it's a toy that everybody wanted, you know, back in the 80s. You know, they teased us in the instruction booklet with that blue streak, and we never got it. So here we go.
How limited is that said to be? Is that like 10,000?
I've heard 2,000.
Oh wow!
I'm not exactly sure the total amount of production run on it, but I do know that it's certain retailers, maybe all retailers, are getting a limited stock of them. But it's an absolutely beautiful beautiful deco on it. And for those of you who haven't actually seen pictures, if you're listening, it's essentially the masterpiece Dotson mold, the blue streak or the streak mold, and where streak was like a dark gray with a black hood and a black roof, and then silver streak was like all silver with some black accents. The blue streak will appear as it did in the Generation 1 instruction booklet, where the sides of the car will be blue, the top of the car will be silver, and then like the head crest will be yellow instead of red. So,
and Doran, I've seen a few things mentioned that they've sort of adjusted the figure a little bit. Now, I'm doing this from memory, so if I'm off, I apologize, but it's supposed to be the prow head and a different torso from one of the other figures. That's just what I remember from reading the article. So it looks like they did some adjustments to make the figure stand out a little bit more than just a straight recolor. And it does come apparently with both missiles.
The silver streak, actually came with the missiles as well. So, you know, I don't know the specifics of it. Again, I pre-ordered it, and that's about all I know. And I know it's going to be a limited run, but I absolutely love that Dotson mold myself personally. And then my favorite version of it has got to be the smoke screen.
That's mine.
Yeah, because I mean, there's. It's so different from the others with the bumpers and the different head and the launchers. It's just gorgeous. And the color scheme is just, well, I mean, I've got it as my wallpaper on one of my computers.
Those colors just pop anyway. I mean, you know, probably you've got black and white, streak, you've got gray and smoke screen, boom, you know, you got red, blue and a little yellow.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the reasons why Blue Streak is gonna kind of help jump in there with Smokescreen, because he's adding a little color where there generally is none on those molds. So, and it's also giving us a figure that's not necessarily red or silver. I mean, in a line where the colors are pretty much, you know, they don't shift too much. You know, there's not a whole lot of blues and blacks and everything. So, in my opinion, but anyway, let's move along. Some Wave 2 figures in Combiner Wars are starting to hit. Some of us have picked some up. I know Sideburn and I were talking briefly about this little guy here. For those of you who are listening on our audio only version, I'm holding up a copy of Blackjack, the Legends figure in Combiner Wars.
That everyone is freaking out about.
Indeed. I mean, he's just got so much articulation and everything, but he does have an issue. You want to go into that a little bit there, Cyber?
Yeah, he doesn't actually peg onto Minotaur's chest in a way that even lets you slightly look at Minotaur without him falling off. Because really I bought it because I wanted him as the chess piece for Minotaur. And I mean, I can't lean Minotaur just barely forward without him falling off. And I'll actually demonstrate it here real quick. It's a great overall figure. And I really have no problems with it, but it's like, I know they're coming out with, you know, with this as Rodimus, and now it's sort of like, well, I don't really need a tiny Rodimus, and if he's not going to connect well on Optimus's chest, I don't see the point.
Yeah.
And I know some people are like, you know, suggesting some of the normal fixes, like,
You know who I'd like to see him, instead of Rodimus, I'd like to see him redecoed into? I'd like to see him repainted into a Road Handler, the Micromaster Road Handler, or something along those lines.
I can see that.
Because the head is kind of similar, except for I think Road Handler actually had a face and not a face mask, but I mean it'd work.
I think so.
But so the quick and dirty, my Minotaur. Oh shoot!
Bang.
You know he's in there, and I'm leaning him back a bit because all I gotta do, it's gonna make a fool of me now.
He's holding in there just tightly now.
Yeah. But the other day when I was putting it on here, I didn't fully transform his chest. Let's see if that changes anything. Because the section wasn't out. But, so he's not as incredibly loose as he was being the other day, but he's still not. Doesn't peg in very well. And,
that peg, right there.
It's. Well, and then, and his pegs are like, they're not really pegs, they're these.
Stubs?
Well, they're more like, because they're not round, they're more like,
kind of like a traveling screwdriver or something.
Yeah. Think of Phillip's head that hasn't been sharpened or pointed, you know. And so they don't really, they just don't have a lot of contact, and they don't get much friction, and they just, it doesn't take any effort. All I'm doing is tipping them and waiting for gravity to do its thing.
I noticed that the handle on drag strip here, this angled handle, has a similar design to those pegs. I don't know if there might be some kind of running thing with that, or what that is necessarily.
Yeah, the running theme is that it's annoying. Because it doesn't really fit right with anything.
If there were a way to maybe have some kind of clip or something that would slide in the little slots here on each leg and just hold the two halves together snugly, it would solve the peg problem, I think.
I think I'm just going to have to resort to the nail polish or future floor polish treatment to those pegs on the chest. That's the only thing I can think of. I mean,
the duct tape.
Yeah. And I hate having to do that to a toy to make it do what it's supposed to do to begin with, but
you can't
such is. Yeah. All right. Well, let's not dwell on those things too long. Let's get to the meat of our topic tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about convention etiquette and some of the things from BotCon, like the toys. I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of some of the toys, like the recently revealed Pack Rat is an homage to an earlier BotCon exclusive, and or I guess a revisit to an earlier BotCon exclusive. So we'll look into that a little bit here shortly. If you're listening to us on any of your listening devices, be it YouTube, be it iPod, your cell phone, what have you, let us know that you're listening and mention us on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you post using hashtag TFYLP. We'd love to know that you're listening to us and help spread the word of Transformers for your listening pleasure. Now, BotCon has, as far as I know, always had convention exclusives. Don, you've been to pretty much every BotCon.
Everyone but 97. Which was the year that the original Pack Rat came out, oddly enough.
Yeah. Hold on.
So I'm only sad that there hasn't been a Generations Pterosaur so that we could get a Generations or a BotCon Fractal.
I'm hoping in the comic. A few years ago, when RC came out from the Black Arachnia mold, we saw Fractal in a Transmetal 2 Pterosaur body. So hopefully that mold is still viable. If it's not been looked at for something coming up, maybe later on down the road, if it's still a viable mold, we might get a Fractal from that because that's the way he was in the comic. And we have had convention exclusives in years that filled in gaps from previous years when the mold was available, like Razor Claw
mm-hmm. came out a few years after he appeared in the comics from the Leo Breaker mold.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw maybe some kind of retooled head on the Age of Extinction swoop figure to take it down to having only one beast head and maybe using that.
That'd look a little weird because where the heads are offset, you know, so...
Yeah.
It looked like a chicken with one...
Well, actually, one of our viewers on RFC brought up this week using animated swoop for Fractal.
That could work.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe if they had the head and just had it split in half and then come down onto the shoulders there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, talking about now we're echoing. Why? Who's echoing?
I'm not.
I don't know why, but anyway.
Your second screen experience.
No, I've got it looping. Huh. But anyway, the BotCon figure that was released or revealed earlier this week in Pack Rat, the Generation Rat Trap mold in what BotCon was that? Was it
97?
Yeah. It homages it. I'll let Pete talk a little bit about it, and if you've got it handy, can you show it a little bit more to us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, am I echoing?
Might be.
Is that better?
I think so.
Okay.
We do apologize, listeners, for the echo.
No worries. What you want to know about Pack Rat? Or is it why we did them? Or?
I couldn't make out what you said. I'm sorry.
Oh, hold on here.
We might have to play the technical difficulties music.
Yeah.
Would it help if I put earphones in? Is that going to help at all or not?
That might. It might.
I'm not sure if it's coming out of yours because I was hearing your echo as well. I'm not sure who it's coming from.
Well, if say something right now, we might not. When you spoke there a moment ago, we didn't have an echo.
Testing. No,
nope, okay. There's no echo there.
Okay, so as far as Pack Rat, yeah, I mean, I guess it's better to talk about the theme of the set than as to how we got to Pack Rat. You know, one of the things we looked at the last few years is the Stunicons. Stunicons that we did in 2011, people really dug the whole idea of a unified theme. So we kind of tried that with 2012, but we wanted to do the whole versus, and it kind of worked, but we had some issues with a couple of the figures, I know. And then 2013, we of course did the Clone Wars, which went over still incredibly well. So you know, after that set, we kind of thought, well, let's start instead of doing theory-based sets, and we don't want to be just necessarily pigeonholed into doing team sets. We thought of kind of maybe more of, team, but broader teams. So, for instance, for last year, we did the Pirates, and we had some, you know, some leeway there. So you had Zarak, who was the son of Zarak, Olin Zarak, who was a Nebulon, who was a pirate, and of course, you know, that's, you know, made Scorponok a pirate. And then you had like Farrak, and you had Cannonball, of course, the leader. So it allowed us to kind of bring some other characters in. And then with this year's set, we wanted to go a step further and kind of looked at it from two points of view. Cybertron's Most Wanted, not just we like the idea of a theme of the Most Wanted, like as far as the bad guys or the Ocean's 11 type thing, you know, kind of like the bad guys having to come together, kind of save the world, save Cybertron. But that also, well, we also kind of look at it as far as most wanted, as far as what people kind of been asking for. So it all just kind of made sense. It all kind of came, it all worked out. So of course, Packrat was kind of that automatic. As soon as they saw anybody who follows BotCon, anybody that knows BotCon, as soon as you saw the new Rat Trap, a lot of people were saying, oh, that would make a beautiful Packrat. So, and then the fact that he's a thief in the fiction, it just, he obviously fit perfectly into the theme. And then we've got the muscle and the boss and the loose cannon and the bounty hunter still. And all four of those, I think, when people see them, let me put it this way, when people see them clearly as opposed to sitting on my desk to the left, when they see them clearly, and they see which ones get the new heads.
I can't see them.
But they'll understand.
Yeah.
What is it?
I was trying to look over. Like, I can't see him.
Yeah.
So, I think people will really, once they see everything together, they're going to see that that is an awesome team. I think they look great as a team. They, in the story so far, it's worked out perfectly. Yes, there are a couple Noth Guardians in the galaxy, though, but for the record, we actually thought of this concept before we even, I mean, of course, you knew the movie before I even heard about the movie. We had already started working on that set, and then when the movie came out, and I heard about the movie, I was like, oh, there are some parallels there. So, of course, we played off it a little bit.
So let me get this straight. We're going to get Heinlad as Rocket.
No, yeah.
Yes. That would be amazing.
No, there's just, like, there's some, and, you know, there's only so many things you can do with a story like this. I mean, there's going to be some parallels, yeah, and a couple subtle nods, but, no, I mean, the concept was there, you know, I think the concept probably actually started with Packrat. If I had to, I honestly don't remember how it all came about, but I think there probably was a little bit of it in with that. I just knew that we didn't want to be stuck, you know, okay, are we going to do a RID theme? Okay, so then, you know, we have to do these five characters, and if we branch out of that, we're going to get hit on that because we are doing something that's not traditional to RID, so we like the broader scopes, but you still get the team. And like I said, by the time it's said and done, it's going to be a team that hopefully people kind of, that makes their mark on the fiction, and people are like, oh, that's a, you know, I like that team. So that's Packrat. As far as, and you guys were talking about Fractal, we've looked at that, because you guys can just ask me. We've looked at right here.
See you there when I was talking because the picture had frozen and it still showed you away.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So Fractal is he's like been on our list. He's been in proposals and has gotten. You know, I've said before if I one day, you know, if I ever can show all the things that have been on different proposals that we've either rejected or Hasbro said no, that's not a good time right now, or we've realized it's not a good time right now. I know he's been on a couple, so I mean maybe it just depends on where you, if the timing's right, if we can fit him in. It's like I always bring up Thrustinator. He was floating around for 5 years before we finally got doing him. So I'm not worried about the mold not being viable. I think it probably is right now. So you know maybe in the next couple of years, sometime hopefully. But that's all I gotta say about that. So.
Keep your britches on, in other words.
Well, I have to say that all this year had to do was say Packrat, and I didn't care after that. I wanted it because I love Beast Wars, and, you know, I don't have an original Packrat. I really want to get one, but it was like, I mean, like you said, as soon as we saw Rat Trap come out, it was like, well, of course it's got to be Packrat. I mean,
yeah, it looks. You knew he looked great in that blue and the white. So.
Oh yeah, he looks fantastic.
Yeah, and I mentioned this in the pre-show, but at least in pictures, the blue looks to be a spot-on color to the original toys. So
that was intentional, but you know.
Do you actually have him handy, Pete? So.
Yeah, I've got some. I'll grab him here in a few.
Okay. Sideburn, were you actually planning to attend BotCon this year?
I've been debating.
Been debating, huh?
Pack Rat has made it really hard for me to say no. I got to figure things out. That's all I'm saying right now. Because I want Pack Rat.
Do it. You know you want to. You know you want to.
Yeah, we're all just a bunch of enablers here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I would love to go to an actual BotCon that's not just one day when everyone and their mom is there. Because that's what happened.
Your only experience at BotCon was the 2010 in Orlando.
Yeah, that one Saturday.
Yeah, you need the full experience. So, yeah.
I'll be excited just to get a chance to get Frank Welker's autograph.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, speaking of that, Pete, that was an incredible do for y'all. Because, we've been trying. Well, not we, but John and Carl tried. Glenn tried. But he's always been so busy. Mm-hmm. And y'all finally got him. So congratulations on finally getting Mr. Welker for the show.
Tell us a little more about on getting Frank and the details about him.
Well, I don't really go. I mean, people I talk to on a regular basis kind of know the whole history with me and everything. And anything 3H is all that water is so far under the bridge. Everything's fine there. I sent Glenn the toys last year. I sent him through Carl the toys for that we did that were homages to Shockerack and Alpha Trizer and who's the other one? Ape Link. So, but there was some issues back in '97 when I initially it was going to be Carl, John, myself, and Glenn, and there were just some issues there, and it didn't work out. Which was fine. It was no big deal. I kind of bowed out and just wasn't interested in continuing with them at the time. But I had actually, and I don't remember how I did it, because this was 97 and I wasn't on. I know some of you were already online, but I was not online. Not that they even had this information. I don't think they even had this online back then, obviously. But I had brought the idea to them. I said, we should have a voice actor at the show. Why don't we get the guy who did the voice of Optimus Prime? Because there had never been a voice, and they thought, okay, well, let's do that. So I had actually contacted Peter Collins' agent at the time and got his information. He was interested for not a lot of money back then. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the thought would be great. And I thought, and I don't know who brought up, and then someone brought up we should get Megatron voice. So I contacted his agent and talked to her, and he wasn't interested, so at least not right then. So we had Peter interested for sure, but Frank wasn't. And okay, that's fine, no big deal. And then I guess there was some talk that he would be at the show, and then he wasn't able. For whatever reason, he wasn't able to make it. And then since that show, whether it was Glenn, Carl, and John doing the show, and then whether it was since we've been doing this since 2005, we've been trying to get him. We've every 2 or 3 years. We put the word out, hey, it would be great to maybe get, Frank, and now his schedule doesn't allow for it. He's not interested this time. It's just try back. And then this year we just saw that we knew that Peter had been talking about him wanting to maybe do some shows, kind of maybe finally getting into those venues. And so we reached out to him, and it's been an absolute pleasure dealing with the agent that's representing him. Excited to have him come out. I just talked to his agent yesterday, just kind of ironing out some of the final details, and it's going to be huge. It's going to be extremely organized. It's going to be extremely structured, because this is very different the way we're doing it this year. So we're going to make sure every single person that purchases the VIP package gets that equal amount of time. And I've already got the way I'm planning this out, because I'll be pretty much kind of for 2 days, that's going to be my job. But it will hopefully go extremely smoothly, and everybody will get everything they want out of what we're offering. You're going to get a picture. If you sign up for the VIP package, you'll get a picture. You'll get an autograph, and then you'll get a picture. The picture will be a pro picture. It'll be a step and repeat like they do at a lot of shows, so it'll have a nice backdrop. That will be separate from your autograph, so there'll be no pictures during autographs. But if you want it, but you'll get a picture op with him at another time as part of the package, and then we'll do a print that I've got a well-known artist working on that. and then you'll get a little lapel pin, like you do like the first aid pin. So it'll be an exclusive pin. So that's that. It's going to be huge. It's going to be, you know, we're thrilled. I'm thrilled.
I know whenever I saw the, or heard the news, it was actually, I believe, we were on our way up to the Indiana meetup last weekend, and me and Orson of Captured Prey and Will Kenny, we were all in the Captured Prey van, and I read it on Facebook, and I'm like, wow, Frank Welker's coming to BotCon. That's kind of a big deal. So yeah, congratulations on getting him. I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think people are going to be, I mean, it's, you know, I think everybody understands, but it's a VIP package. So it's, you know, we've always tried through the years to actually, since Fun Pub took over in 2005, you know, people, you know, you pay your $400 for your Primus package, but that includes all your autographs and all of your pictures with the guest. You know, and I was responding on a thread the other day, and someone had said something about, I don't know, just something that's kind of a little, you know, disparaging. But I quickly pointed out that if you came to BotCon last year and wanted a picture and a signature with every guest, you could have gotten, I think, 17 pictures and 34 signatures, and that would have been included in your $400 package. If you would have done that at any other show, or most any other show, I should say, you know, they're charging $20 an autograph, $10 a picture, and that's the minimum. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's you know, it's about $50-$60 for a picture.
I know
your higher tier. Yeah. I mean, you're talking
$100. Well, I mean, we had Lexington Comic Con down here in Lexington, Kentucky, a few weeks ago, and some of the Star Trek guests were unbelievably high. I mean, they had Marina Sirtis, Deanna Troi. They had her there, and I heard just a picture with her was like $100. And it's like, you know, there's people that would do that and brain drawing a blank right now. Chekhov, he was there as well. And yeah, Walter Koenig, he was there, and it was like $100 for like a picture and then $50 for a signature on anything. And so if you wanted a picture and a signature is $150. And I'm like, I love Star Trek. I have virtually every Star Trek episode there is on DVD. So, you know, my Star Trek fandom is not in question here, but I would not pay that much for those guys. I mean, that's a bit high, you know.
I'm not going to fault any show for doing that, because I understand, you know, because they're just paying the minimum, whatever, you know, that they.
Well, it's set by the guest, pretty much.
Yeah, and that's fine. So it's all supply and demand. I mean, you know, so I understand all that. I'm just saying for us, what we want to do, you know, 99% of the time is to have that as part of the experience. And that's why, even though we are going to have to charge a considerable amount for Frank, because that's just part of how it works. That's, you know, I hope people understand that we're trying to, this is the first time he's been at a Transformer show, first time I think he's been to a convention ever. And we are going to try to have some extra stuff in there. We're going to have the print. We're going to have the pin, the picture, you know, you're not going to be just taking a picture with your camera. You know, you're going to get a pro picture printed out that you'll actually have there at the show. So this is not going to be just here's a signature, you do a selfie with them and you know, give us your $100 type thing. This is going to be a little bit more. We want to make sure that just like anything with a Primus package, that you know, you get your full value out of what the VIP package and what the golden ticket package will be. So,
Pete, just one question. For those people, I'll be honest, I would love to meet Mr. Walker. I've wanted to for a long time, but I haven't decided if I'm getting the package yet or not myself. I'm still the budgeting and everything out. If there's any prints left over from his packaging, if there's any prints left over, will they be available at the show or on the club store afterwards?
We will release the exact number, because I do all the, you know, I get everything printed up. We will do the exact number for the VIP package and then I'll keep 50 for myself. No, I'm just kidding.
I just figured if I can't. Yeah.
But no,
go ahead.
Oh, no, just because that's going to be, it's just part of it. I understand what you're saying. Now, we'll do our autograph card and stuff like that, so there'll be cards, but the actual print that comes as part of the VIP package, no, there won't be an actual.
Because I know a lot of the artists that work on your stuff through the years, and they all do such stellar stuff, so it'd be nice to have something from that, even if it's just a postcard, that'll be cool.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's still all being, but there'll be other Megatron stuff, I'm sure. I mean, that we'll be doing. I'm sure we'll do some other Megatron art, but the actual print, I mean, there'll be another Megatron-related print type thing we're doing, but the one just VIPs.
I gotcha.
But anyways, what I was saying about the guests is the point is that we do have, there will be guests there, and I'll go ahead and announce one of them because we've got all the Joe stuff going on, and the person that does the site wasn't able to get it up today, but we are going to have Sue Blue at the show this year.
Wow.
Yeah, so she will be making her third appearance, her second one in a row. She was out, on the West Coast, but this would be a great way for everybody in the Midwest to see her because she has not also done many shows just because she's been very busy. We've tried for her a couple times and it just didn't work out. But she had a blast last year, was very complimentary of everything we did. I'd love to do this again. And so as we were kind of planning out who we wanted for this year, we thought, well, let's bring her in again. So
and inevitably Donald Ferguson will be in line with a sealed RC to have her autograph it.
Yeah. No, I will be in line with a sealed RC to give her one if I can find another one.
Good luck with that.
I have yet to see them at retail anywhere in two states. So in the past I gave Michael McConaughey a Trax and a Cosmos. I mentioned to Sue Blue, I think when she was at BotCon last year or the last time I saw her, that we'd heard the RC was coming out. I told her, the next time you come, I'll finally be able to give you a G1 RC figure. Now I got one down.
She may already have one too. So,
well, she didn't even have an animated RC, and she told me that. And I know, of course, Predo from Tempting Toys. I was like, there's no animated RCs anywhere in the showroom. Well, he had a Japanese one. He actually had two of them. I was like, you want to give one to her? And she probably signed the other one for you. He's like, well, yeah, absolutely. So he gave her an animated RC, and then she signed the other one for him. So that was kind of cool.
I had a question real quick. Not to backtrack too much, but on the photos, as far as Frank Welker,
mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a digital option, or is it just only going to be the photograph?
I'm working with the photographer we're going to use in St. Charles. I'm pretty sure he'll put all those up online that you can probably buy prints from him. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think they put like one for free, but then they'll offer you like all the different. So I'll have to see exactly what's in the contract with him.
I didn't know if maybe it was the sort of thing where, if nothing else, if you didn't want to, if you wanted to print out, but maybe the photo could also be, sent to your email account, however many weeks after the con.
Let me check. I mean, I can see, I'm sure there's different rates for whether or not he did, because I know, how photographers work. It's very strange how that all works. I mean,
right.
They different places. Sometimes they want to make money off the prints too. Sometimes they just put them up like the Kiss Cruise. I think you pull it off the website, but I don't think you got a printed one. You had to print them yourself. Since he is printing them, I don't know. So I'll check with him. I'll check with him and find out. We'll have all those details worked out. We're still kind of working on the final things. We know everything we're going to do, but as far as the final pricing, the final exactly what you're going to get, that's what we're still kind of sorting out.
Okay.
Yeah, I do want to remind listeners that if you're listening to us either live or on the pre-recorded audio version, you can interact with us on our Facebook group, the TFYLP Facebook group, or you can also tweet us at TFYLP. Now, if you're watching us live on our YouTube channel, if you tweet us live at TFYLP, or if you comment on our thread on the Facebook group, if you ask a question that you might want Pete to answer, feel free to tweet it at us. I'm watching the Twitter feed, and Sideburn is watching Facebook, and we'll ask it to Pete if it's relevant and if we have time. So feel free to interact with us on there. Now, Pete, a lot of people may not be really familiar with how the VIP and the golden ticket stuff works. A lot of people may not have actually attended a BotCon before. Do you want to kind of explain those and tell how they work and what the differences are?
Well, we've had the golden ticket for the last few years. The VIP will be a new ticket this year. You can purchase the golden ticket, the VIP. You have to have the Primus package. You can add the golden ticket, and you can add the VIP ticket if you'd like. Now, as far as what you get, I just highlighted what you got with the VIP ticket. You'll get the picture, the autograph, the picture, the print, and the pin, and then you'll also get priority seating at the panel. Golden ticket, you will get the picture. Autograph will, and I haven't really told this anywhere yet because we haven't really put out the details yet, but it's no big deal for me to tell you now because it's already in the contract. So this is the way it's going to be. You'll get the picture, and then you'll get a pre-signed item. You won't get an autograph time with him. You'll get a pre-signed item as part of the golden ticket, and then you'll get all the other perks of the golden ticket, the meet and greet on Friday night. Frank will not be at the meet and greet on Friday night. We will only have the other guests there, but we will have all of the regular guests and all the, you'll get the signature, and then, like I said, you'll also get the picture with him. But you'll see meet Sue and our other guests at the meet and greet. You will have priority seating at the panel for Frank, and actually a priority seating at all panels. And then you get 3x the limit on all the souvenirs. And the souvenirs, I will talk about too. We did drop those numbers this year. We kept raising the numbers because they kept selling out, so we kept raising the numbers. And the last years, I think we kind of went a little above the numbers where we should have been. So we have not drastically cut the numbers, but we've cut them enough to where the one souvenir set, once the golden ticket people buy it and the Primus package people buy it, it will probably be sold out. That's a really, really cool set too. So we did that intentionally, obviously. And then the other two sets, the Troop Builder set, I think it's pretty much the normal numbers because people are going to flip when they see that. And then the second souvenir set is a little higher than the first one number wise. But it's still lower than last year. So we cut the box set numbers. So we're pretty much everything's in line with Primus packaging because things have been really steady. We've had great attendance the last few years. But the souvenir numbers, with so much stuff out there, we just kind of cut the numbers down to see how that works.
Yeah. Well, that's I'm glad you brought that up because this fandom as it is, we covered on TFYLP a few weeks ago, Brett and the crew did, how the fandom tends to be very polarized one way or the other on certain issues. And one of the things that I see floating around from time to time is the convention exclusives. In my opinion, it's kind of picking at nits, but at the same time, I also see the argument is that if there's so many left over of the convention sets that need to be put up on the club store or what have you, it kind of begs the question, the exclusivity. A lot of people, they want these sets and they want them to be exclusive and valuable. And if there's so many of them still floating around out there, and, quite frankly, there are some sets that didn't do as well as others. But then not every set can be like what was that one set? The
Axelon crew.
Yeah. That was extremely popular, and the value of that continues to rise, mm-hmm. and it's extremely, sought after. If you lower the numbers, and that's always been the argument, or been one of the main arguments, is like if the numbers were lowered, then the value and then the desire for the toys may go up. And
And we're completely aware of that. I think that you gotta be careful. I mean, you're saying sets now. The 2013 set was the only set that didn't sell out. The 2014 set sold out before the show. We had some extras at the show, and that sold out. 2013 was just, didn't sell out. Mm-hmm. But the souvenirs, I think, is the bigger concern, because we were having the souvenirs, we want those selling out at the show. We don't want to have any extras of those. So that is, the whole point that they are, we call them at-show exclusives, because they should only be available at the show. But if we have, 300 left over, then we've got 300 left over, and we've got to, do something with them. So that's, I think, honestly, with the strength of the convention set this year, we probably wouldn't be comfortable cutting numbers because of what we are offering and what we are planning. But for the souvenirs, while they store great souvenirs, like I said, we want to make sure that they do sell out at the show. So you'll be seeing less of those, and that should help with the with people's, because we know people, want to have that exclusivity to them. So, yeah.
And that's always been the big issue, is the exclusivity of them. And, and I think a lot of people, they shell out premium money for some of these figures. Like deluxes are like three times the price because they're exclusive. And if there's so many of them left over, it kind of begs the question, well, why am I paying so much if they're supposed to be exclusive and there's so many left over?
I was just going to say, on the club side, we did that with the last subscription service too. You're not going to see, especially, it just depends on how many people don't keep the subscription through the entire time. But even the first two, we've got no extras of the first two they're going to ship. So there won't be any extras of the first two club toys on the shelf outside. So you didn't get them through us or retailer.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting an echo again. Don't know. Now it disappeared.
The Phantom Echo.
P, I've got one question. You mentioned a while ago the Troop Builder sets. Now, last year's set, it wasn't a Troop Builder in the terms of the traditional fault. It wasn't Auto Troopers. It wasn't Sharkticons. It wasn't Junkions. It was one each of three figures, and it was three very good figures, but the price was a little higher compared to the regular Auto Troopers. Did mixing the figures up on a per bag set not get you the economies of scale that the regular, like the three of the same, would?
There were some weird factors that it did not work. The way that, between some shipping issues and the way that the toys broke out, it did not work out the way we wanted. So we went back to the more of the traditional. And I think that was already the plan anyway. I think that was just kind of a one-off year to do the three nights. So I think you'll see.
Well, I like getting the three figures as a group set. I just was wondering, since they were about, 30 or 40 higher, give or take, over the regular set of three of the same, I didn't know whether this was going to be an ongoing thing or what.
No. We'll see. You'll see you'll see it kind of going back to the normal. The normal program for this year.
So. Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And there is not an LG10 anywhere available online. I've been checking here and there to get one for.
What is it?
The Legends.
The Japanese version, because it's a little more show accurate. And it's got the nicer box.
From what I understand, the Japanese version was a lot more limited run than what we were originally, because some retailers were limited as to how many they actually got.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. I didn't know. I was just checking around while listening in. And I was trying to find one for.
But yeah, the now let's talk a little bit about some convention etiquette. We've talked about this before on the show, but you know, with having Pete here and I'm sure you guys deal with a lot of issues at the convention, and without, you know, we're not going to be talking about specific people or anything like that, but things that tend to recur that are problems at the convention. Since we're going into convention season, let's talk a little bit about things that fans tend to misconstrue and do, or things that they shouldn't do at conventions. And this isn't just for BotCon, but specifically, but it applies to BotCon. What are some things that the club runs into at BotCon as far as issues from the fans? I mean, you know, misunderstandings, things that they do that really interferes with things. Can we talk a little bit about that?
You know, I'll talk about one thing, but it's funny, if you were someone who had never been at a show, like any show convention, and you only went by what you read online, you would think that for any show that there's people steaming around, fuming mad, that there's people mouthing off, that there's confrontations, that there's issues being raised, that it's unpleasant, that there's like a decent number of those people. In reality, what I have found over the last 20 plus years of being to BotCon is that doesn't happen at all. It is the most laid back atmosphere for the most part. I mean, yes, people hate the standing in lines because apparently BotCon's the only show you ever stand in line at. So yes, there are lines. You're going to stand in line. As I've told people, they always say, why the lines on Thursday night? I always remind them, come on Friday morning, you wait in line for 20 minutes and you'll get the exact same stuff, but people want their stuff right then. And that's great, but you're going to have to wait in line. But so other than really the line waiting, there is so few issues we run into. I mean, yeah, you're going to run into like maybe a thing here, someone upset about something here. It's going to happen. That's going to happen at any retail store. It's going to happen at any restaurant. So it's very few and far between. And we haven't, I think, got things oiled to the point over the last few years where they go so smoothly. That, you know, like the things like the Universal event last year, even though, you know, we didn't actually know exactly sure how it was all going to work out because there was so many different moving parts about the time the buses had to be there and so on and forth. But it just, it all works out. And, you know, you guys all don't see what we do behind the scenes to kind of keep everything moving forward. You know, I think the one question I've been getting a lot, and this doesn't really pertain to us and what we run into, but I think what some other fans are concerned about are the way the questions and the way they're asked at the panels. And the Frank Welker panel will be moderated by me. I will screen all the questions, and not that I'm going to censor the questions and stuff like that, but I'm going to make sure that we ask the best, most relevant questions, and that we make the absolute best use of his time.
Thank you.
We don't need to ask Frank how you get into voice acting. We will ask him things about his career and make sure, and I'll make sure that the people that are asking the question are acknowledged and that there's still that interaction some way. But it's going to have to be moderated. And honestly, you probably need to kind of do that for the other panels, too, for Sue and other guests that will be on her panel. Just kind of make sure we make the best use of their time and we're not asking questions that, honestly, if you want to know, you need to Google, how do I become a voice actor? Because I guarantee you're going to find much more useful information online than you'll ever find asking at a panel at a convention. And not that they're not – they're usually happy to answer you, but – and they all have different – that's the problem, too, is they all have different answers. I've heard this question asked many times. They all have different answers. They all probably got into it different ways. So your best bet is to go online and research it if you want to find out how to be a voice actor. But, yeah, those questions and some of the other questions, you know, not that it's a goofy – I don't mean to say it's a goofy question, but you just have to kind of – let's make sure we're asking questions that the entire
– not ask questions that's been asked 15 million times.
Oh, no, let's ask questions that the entire audience is going to enjoy hearing the answer to. You know, not that it can't be personal and directed towards you, but let's make sure everybody's enjoying every single minute of those 50 minutes we have, because we only get 50 minutes with them, and let's make sure we, you know, make that a very memorable experience.
15 minutes is not a long time either, so yeah.
So nobody asked, you know, in season 2, episode 7, and this one season, what were you thinking about?
You know, were you eating a sandwich while you were talking? You know.
The questions I'm always most interested in is how is you know, one of the questions that really needs to be asked, and maybe I'll put that one in for myself, or maybe one of you can ask, is it's always great to hear about their perception and how they reacted to the other people in those booths, because you hear it from everybody. You hear about, you know, how it was to work with the late Chris Latta, and you know, you hear from other, you know, I've heard stories from Dan Gilvezan about what it was like to work with Scatman Crothers, and talk about him just sitting there playing the guitar. You know, I've heard all these stories through the years. Of course, some of them I've heard from them personally, so I gotta try not to mix them up. But you know, those are the great stories that, you know, you want to know what it was like being part of that show, and being not just that show, but I mean, obviously back then, is they'll all tell you it was a stupid little kids cartoon show that they're reading lines for. Let's be honest. That's what, I mean, not that they thought it was stupid, but I mean, it was that this was one of many jobs they would do in a day. They would go from this studio to this studio, and you know, they weren't thinking that, you know, they didn't know it was going to be that. We didn't know it was going to be this. So to kind of put more emphasis on it than what it was, it's more interesting to hear about those, how they performed and what they thought of their performances. And I shouldn't have said stupid, because I mean, I know they all took a lot of pride, and I know Wally Burr he was a perfectionist, so he, regardless of whether or not it was a kid's cartoon or not, he
poured his soul into it.
He wanted it.
Has Wally Burr ever attended a BotCon before?
Yeah, he was a artist before, and actually I just was on the phone with him last night. He's not coming to the show this year. We just talked about some other stuff. But he was at 2004-05, and then he was there as our special guest in 2013 was the golden ticket. He was there with Tommy Kennedy and
seemed like I remembered seeing him, but I wasn't for sure. Oh, before I forget,
he was there in 2013. Glenn Morshower and David Soboloff, and I'm blanking on his name that did Wheeljack.
James Horan.
Yeah. And then Tommy Kennedy from the old season 5, season 4.
Season 5.
He was a cool guy, too.
Don, while I've got it pulled up here, at Monzo12782, one of our listeners, he says they're doing a second run of RC in Japan in August.
I saw that. Yes,
that's Monzo, isn't it? That's Matt.
Yeah. So I might have to give her mine and just pick one up later on.
Yeah, good. They are doing those.
Second one, appreciate it.
Now, you know, going back to the problems, though, let's kind of wrangle it back in here. I'll use my experience I think it was 2011 that was in Pasadena. I was at.
We've been in Pasadena for like 5 straight years. Apparently, according to the internet, we were there 5 straight years. We were there in 11.
Okay. Because I went 2010 was Orlando. Yeah. So it was yeah. Yeah. It was the last year I was with my wife. But anyway, the experience that I had, and this was something that could have been avoided. And I went in 2012 to the one in Dallas.
Yeah.
And I don't recall so much of this as a problem then, but I haven't had a chance to go since then. But the problem that happened in 2011 was that, you know, how each line is divided up by certain letters of the alphabet according to your last name. And I was in the L line. And Insane Galvatron, you know, member of the show that helped start this show, His last name begins with an M, and his line wasn't supposed to open until like an hour after ours was, or something. And well, anyway, needless to say, I was in line an hour before he was. He came in, went through his entire line, got his set, went ate dinner, and came back, and I still was not even halfway through the line. We were the L line. We were in line for 4.5 hours.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore, though. Yeah. We don't do that system anymore.
And well, the reason why is because the lady that was doing our packets and everything, she is sweet as she can be, but she was carrying on a conversation with every single person that came up there, asking them how they got there, when they got there, all that stuff.
That's why we don't do that system anymore. So that kind of solved that.
Yeah,
it's just people. You come up and we take the next person. It's whoever's the next one available. We got it all set up now to where you just come up and it's just
yeah.
The way it's organized in the back here is not as much. You still have to travel a little bit more than you used to, but yeah, it's not like that anymore. So
well, I mean it was nice that she was giving personable service, but it was a little bit. Considering the length of the line. She is like, she didn't give a damn. She was just carrying on a conversation with everybody. And, you know, and then Carl Hartman, bless his heart, you know, he finished his line and then came up and said, you know, you're doing a great job. Let me help. And within 15 minutes, the line was gone. But, you know.
That's why we changed that whole format. So not just because of her, but I'm just saying that.
I'm not saying to try to get anybody in trouble because that's like 4 years ago. But that was an issue, and I know some people were really turned off by that experience. And it's nice that you all have noticed that and adjusted accordingly. Now I'm sure there's other things, you know, we've talked about on this show, like very basic things that people tend to forget whenever you go to cons. Yeah, for example, bathing, you know.
I'll let you guys talk about that. I don't
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about it before. I don't feel a need to talk about it again, but it's surprising how many people like, oh, they're so excited to be at the con they forget to hop in the shower, you know.
I take a shower every day. Like you mentioned, I will usually take one twice because how much I'm running around. I take one in the morning and then before the dinner event or the golden ticket, I actually will take another one if I have time. I will try to real quick just because it's we all go nonstop from 7 a.m. till sometime 1 a.m. So okay. Especially on Thursday and Friday. So
now let me grab something real close here, and I've got a question about it. And I don't fall. Now, it might have been answered before, but the Hall of Fame is it dead? Honestly,
no. They had something with Stan last year. I know at the at Universal. That's a Hasbro thing, so I don't really want to go into that at all. But I will say it's not dead.
Like I know these are just simple cardboard things, and
I would love to see the cards come back because I mean it was
really nice, and I mean I still have mine. From the cons that I've been to, it's something small. Granted, this first one here with the black one with these guys on it, the card stock was really nice and thick, and then it got kind of cheaper through the years. But I mean,
the second one, the Michael Bay one was the second one. Which one's the first one? You should have a Peter Cullen first one.
This one here is the thick card stock.
But that was the second one, though. I'm saying is what I was trying to say.
Okay. Okay, here's the inaugural one here, and it was on basic cardstock.
They started thin, went up to thicker, and then went back thin. So
yeah. It'd be nice to have a little more consistency in it because the thick card back is nice, especially for the reason I have these. Some people don't give a damn, but me personally, obviously, I have mine, and it's something neat that you can attend. and I can look at it, and I had a really great time at these events. And to me, it was part of the highlight of BotCon is these events. And, you know, having that as a physical reminder that I've got just laying around my collection room here is really something special. And
last year, I think where they wanted to put their money, I think, you know, they have a budget just like everybody. And I think they wanted to put, while they still were celebrating the Hall of Fame, they wanted to put that money more into what they were doing with the Universal and kind of creating that experience and, you know, you're getting your Stan Bush ticket and stuff like that. So, you know, you're not going to always see, unfortunately, it sometimes, like I said, it all comes down to budget and, you know, so.
But. Yeah. Cyburn, you've been rather quiet. You have any comments or questions so far? Okay, we don't care.
I don't know. The con landscape is very new to me. I mean, I went to a 2010 BotCon for just a Saturday because I live in Orlando, so it was easy for me to get there. And then the only other convention I've ever been to is a local convention, comic convention. And so, I don't know. The con landscape is new and foreign to me. I don't know anything, you know. I can't. So all I know is that the first con I went to, which was that BotCon, the only things I could think of that really sort of irked me about my fellow fans is, in the panels, I really didn't want to hear, you know, all the questions about, you know, will you have this character you voiced and this character you voiced have a conversation? It's stupid. Shut up. I wanted to hear him talk because that was what was really interesting. Talk about their career. And when they did do some of the lines, that was awesome. I think there are certain voice actors that you expect to do more actual voice acting, like, you know, your Scott McNeils, you sort of expect him to be.
Yeah, he's
character as soon as he gets up there, but
the entire show.
Yeah, when it was like Peter Cullen, and you know, someone was like, "Can you have Optimus Prime have a conversation with Eeyore?" I was like, "What's the point in this? Let the man talk about something more entertaining."
It's interesting with. I pretty much deal, you know, it's just part of my job now that I'm dealing with the actors for both the Joe Show, the G.I. Joe convention, which comes next week, by the way. So if you're in the Springfield, Illinois area, make sure you pop out for that. You might have seen our little thing with the key to Cobra Commander. So, that worked out really well. That was kind of that all came together incredibly. I would be lying if I said that I didn't have some inclination that it might take off, because once the idea was there for the key to be given to him, I thought that's something that's never been done before. So I was excited. So I was there. So I went out there and did that. And then I went out there and shot the commercials with a team there. So I was hoping either that the JoeCon, and I'll be off of this for like in 30 seconds. Kind of people are like, Joe, whatever, stop. But I knew either the videos would take off, or I should say I had a good feeling either the videos would take off or that the photo thing would take off, because I knew we had the support of the local convention bureau and it was going out to a lot of media contacts. I just thought it would actually take off from the AP media aspect and then go to the pop culture. I didn't realize it was going to hit the pop culture and then the media was going to pick up. But that, hey, whatever. You know, so we were – it was – Comedy Central, MSNBC, we were on io9, we're just kind of everywhere. Anyways, though, so we've got JoeCon next week, but what I was talking about, I've totally forgotten. What were we talking about? Bring me back.
We were talking about the voice actors.
Oh, yeah. So one thing I found, because I deal with the voice actors on the Joe side too, you know, whether I'm feeling them or talking to them, they're always... there's a part of them that's always on. I see it, like I said, I see it in the emails. I see it just talking to them. You know, some are off or not on that much, like Dan Gilvezan, he's very kind of like just a normal guy you'd be talking to on the street. There's not much, you don't see a lot of the character come out when you're talking, but some people, there's a part of their personality that's just always performing, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, it's actually a great thing, but it's just kind of interesting to see that some people are on all the time, some people are on part of the time, and then some people are just, you know, you don't see much at all. But my point is, you'll see that more with actors and voice actors, I think, than with your everyday person. It's like a Robin Williams type who was just, like I said, anytime with the unfortunate situation with him, but anytime that he had two or more people in the room, he was on stage, and I think you see that sometimes. With I can definitely see that he likes the one, so, and that's great. It's, you know, they make for the absolute best guests too. They all make for great guests, actually. It's just we've had, and I'll talk about that for a quick second. In the 30 to 40, 50 guests that we've had over the last 10 years, of course I wouldn't name any if I even could think of any, but the numbers that of people that have been a pleasure to deal with and have dead given us no grief and no problem. I mean, the issues that we've had have been so minute compared to how pleasant and how easy it's been to work with just about every single person, from people, the regulars like David Kay and Peter Cullen, to even, you know, the people that have only been to one show, like the Dobsons. I mean, everybody have just been great. So
now, that's, yeah, I know we spoke about the golden ticket and the VIP before. Now, the VIP, is that more or less a give you a meet and greet type situation?
Yeah, I wouldn't use meet and greet. That's you're going to get to meet him and you'll get your autograph, but it's not like there's going to be 5 minutes of socializing. It's not good, because sometimes they like to go up and people like to talk for 3 or 4 minutes, and there's not going to be that much time. There's going to be so many people interested in this. You've got 2-hour autograph session. We're going to make sure we can get as many people through each time. So it's going to be it's going to be very structured. Everyone will have very clear instructions from the people, the staff, from Frank understanding what we've got to do, from me understanding what I've got to do, and me communicating that to everybody else that's in line of okay, this is how we need to do this, so everybody gets that fair amount of time to say hi, how are you, thank you, I enjoyed your work. And that, it's a brief interaction. It's got to be, because that's the only way we can get everybody through. So if we could do a thing where we had 10 hours and could give everybody 10 minutes, that'd be great, but we don't.
The reason I was asking, and I understand with Frank Welker, because the man is extremely busy and his time is extremely valuable.
Well, it's not whether or not his time, because we have him for the weekend. What I'm saying is he only can do so much in that weekend.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure we can get everybody through.
Well, what I was getting at, though, is that, is there a possibility in the future, considering, you know, in the pre-show we were talking about SlagaCon, and you know, it was a very small convention and everything, and you know, it a lot of people didn't give it a chance, really, and the people that did got something really special, and it's something that a small con tends to deliver more so than a large con like BotCon, SDCC, what have you. But I do know larger cons offer certain things like a meet and greet situation for a premium price for a very limited amount of people. Let's say you have 10 people.
We do all that. We do that for the golden ticket. Just Frank's just not available for that. So
yeah.
And other ones, but he's just that's not an option for what we got lined up for him. But that's what we try to offer with the golden ticket. You pay that, you got the 100 people, and you can come socialize with, you know, like last year we had a Jack Angel and Samantha Newark and Michael McConaughey and Susan Blue, and I mean there were 7 or 8 guests in there that you can spend an hour and a half with talking. You know,
yeah. That's exactly what I was getting at, because, you know, at the second SlaggerCon, I believe it was, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the one that Gary Chalk was at?
That was Gary Chalk and Hartman's.
Yeah, Gary Chalk, I myself, Insane Galvatron, and Brian Slaughter, and a couple, one or two other people, we stood in a little circle in the middle of the dealer room, and mm-hmm. and Gary Chalk was there with us, and we literally shot the breeze for an hour and a half with Gary Chalk.
Yeah,
you know, just about everything.
But that happens a bunch all the time, though.
Yeah,
and that happens. I mean, I've seen David Kay sit down with people. I've seen back in the day, you can catch. Well, I'm not going with that. But there's been guests that, you know, you can always catch the guest if you kind of catch them at the right time, as long as you're not intruding on their
Peter Cullen at the bar.
Yeah. So I mean, there's been, you know, all those same things happen, and sometimes they're structured like the golden ticket, and sometimes they're not. I'm only talking about things that we've got actually as part of the plan with Frank, of what he'd be doing, and that we just don't have any of those. We don't have actual meet and greet type things set up, but for the actual program, we do have a thing where people, I think, will get a full value out of what they will have to spend to get that experience. So,
yeah, I mean, I had a really great experience. I believe it was the BotCon in Lexington. And
you can't plan those experiences too. What you're talking about, like, no. That's just going to happen.
Well, this here was at the dinner that I believe it preceded the casino night, and the table that I was sitting there, and there was like one other fan that was sitting here, and it was an empty table. You know, there was no assigned seating or anything. It was great. Was sitting there, we had just got our food, and we were sitting there talking, and who should come sit down at the table with us was Blue Man Kuma, Pauline Newsom, I believe, is Air Razor.
Yeah.
Is Blue Man Kuma, her, and Simon Furman sat down at our table, and we just sat there and dined with those three.
That was in 2006, wasn't it? I remember we wanted Pauline because she'd never been to a show, and she had a lot of trepidation about doing the show. So she was really sweet. She was a nice, nice lady. So
yeah. I mean, she was. I remember talking with her, and she was really overwhelmed with how awesome it was. And she knew that there were Transformer fans out there, but she didn't know how truly passionate and knowledgeable we were as a fandom.
And some of the guests are more than aware of it at this point, and some that come out for the first time are blown away. So, hey, hold on. I just heard something. I got to go check out. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Like a door open or something.
But, yeah, I mean, I know you guys, if you, like Cyburn, if you get a chance to go this year, I mean, it's true. What? Hey, it's Brett.
Wow.
What are you doing there?
I'm hiding. He didn't go.
There's more to Pete than meets the eye.
All right. Hey, Megamus here in the inner sanctum. And, man, there's good stuff everywhere. I mean, I'm looking.
G2 Starscream.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Nacelle.
What else we got here? What else we got? Got this guy here.
What's that? Oh, Zap. Yeah.
Zap.
I saw this one before. Motorcycle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Here he is.
Pack Rat.
Pack Rat everyone keeps talking about, right? Pack Rat? That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey, if that, it begs the question, if Pack Rat's there.
What else is there?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's the thief, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I should take some of these.
See if you can find something else laying around there.
I'm looking. There's, he's got stuff all over the place.
Oh my, that's Croc.
Yeah.
The Croc. Ooh, there we go. He's got like two of these.
Oh,
guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nova Prime.
There we go. Two of them.
And Lyle Convoy. Very nice.
Nice. I'm trying to put everything back so he doesn't even know I'm here.
Were you just been coaching him in the background or something?
What are you talking about?
How does he know not know you're there?
What's this? What's
that? What is that?
What is that?
Hold that back up. See, everyone knows I'm a big Beast Wars fan. I know right away who that is. Is anyone else know who that is?
That's from the ramjet mold.
Or Thrustinator, right?
It's Rant.
Is that Thrust?
Waspinator from the what is it? The Armada Thrust mold?
No, that's the
Reveal the Shield.
Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah.
Dirge.
Yeah.
As Waspinator.
It looks like it.
Oh, guess what? Look what I found. Found these eggs.
Oh. Those look familiar from a certain video.
Here's another egg.
Ooh.
Yeah, I saw these on the thing. They said,
dude, crack one open before he comes back.
Journey! Jeez. Can't leave your doors open anymore around this part of town.
Wow. I swear, he didn't show us anything.
I know. But the bad news is, This is just a painted mock-up. This isn't anything we're actually doing. This was a
crap.
This was a custom someone that Jesse, who does a lot of work for us, did up, and we actually talked about it, but we only talked about it briefly, just because there was we had already done the Thrustinator, and it just with
a well, you didn't talk long enough.
So, but I tell you, but you know, since Brett did find my surprise eggs, what if I opened one right now?
That would be awesome.
Yes.
Which one? A TFYLK exclusive reveal.
Let's do the big one because that looks sexy. I like yellow since I'm partial to yellow.
Yes.
Well, I'll let Brett choose.
I like blue. I was going to take the blue.
Blue one.
Well, blue's an awesome color too. Because yellow and blue go together like a werewolf.
What? Oh, he picked the wrong one. This one's the yellow one's got a toy from the set in it. The blue one has, but you are going to get a reveal. But it's not really anything to. Well, it's maybe something to write home about. Just a real brief letter. This will come with one of the figures that you get at the show. So.
The Chop Shop repaint a Chop Shop.
Looks like Twin Twist or Top Spin, maybe.
Now don't try to speculate because you can sit here and say, "Oh, that means they're doing the Legends toy he came with." No, we actually just needed him for one of the figures in the convention only offerings. Here, I will even transform him for you. Okay. There you go. That's him in vehicle mode. I'm joking. He's the it's like scissors, but yeah, that's he'll be there, so you'll get him, but you won't get his Legends buddy. He's packaged with someone else for a reason. So
awesome. Now, what character is he supposed to be?
I'm not gonna tell you that.
Well, it looks like Top Spin. I mean, it's blue and silver.
No,
Top Spin because Spin Quest sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Oh my God, that's an old one.
But
so that's it. But I probably will be revealing this one on Tuesday. So
Tuesday. All right. So we got a little sneak peek there, and that Waspinator, I'll go ahead and push for it. That needs to happen.
So we know we got Susan Blue coming. You got Susan Blue coming. You got a blue Chop Shop coming. You got your blue Pack Rat. So it is
blue tends to be a theme here. And it came out of a blue egg.
Well, an Autism Awareness Day was yesterday, so it just kind of worked out well that we covered all the blue. So that was totally not intentional. But
down.
So there you go. So,
And see, Massey's even getting in on the attention here.
Hey.
What is it?
Our official mascot, Massey, the attack cat.
Oh.
Yeah, Massey randomly attacks me from time to time, Pete. On camera.
Brett wanted to know if... Brett, well, why don't you come into the screen, Brett?
Because I'm hiding.
You're not hiding. The joke's over, man.
Oh, that was too funny. No, I thought that was a neat mold, too. And I just was wondering if enough people wrote in on it, would they make it? We get that survey. They always want to know about the survey, what's going on.
Survey time here.
Oh, God. Yo,
read the survey.
I can't tell you how many of those things I have filled out. And nothing has ever
All
been...
I've got to say is there's not enough tenactin to go around. And there's certain people out there, certain listeners, that will know exactly what I'm talking about. Because don't spray your crotch with tenactin.
Oh,
at a BotCon. Yes. That being said,
I was really wanting to start grabbing the stuff over here.
Yeah,
just wanting to grab.
Yeah, you notice this time I've got the stuff out of frame. So
I don't know what they're talking about. You know what? I can see it plain as day. Yeah. I mean,
he's enjoying that. But no, do you guys got any questions for me? So I'm gonna have to dip off here, I think. But,
well, actually. I believe unless the other guys have some questions, I think we'll wrap it up here. But I'll give them an opportunity to ask any questions if they have any.
I'm just gonna say, Pete, thanks for all the years of great fun. I've enjoyed, you know, ever since 94, I've enjoyed all the BotCons, and just thank you for all the hard work and all the effort. I know y'all were constrained by what molds are available and what you can work with from Hasbro and Takara with names and everything. So I just appreciate the hard work y'all do every year. So thank you much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to every BotCon but 97.
Everyone, well, I was unemployed that year, so I really couldn't make it. Yeah. So but John Carl sent me a set anyway, so I was lucky to get the pack rat of the fractal, which I love.
There's only seven of us left that have been to every one, so.
I know. Last year when John was doing the celebration, it's like, has anyone been there for 19 years? I had to sit down. Like, okay.
That was Carl's idea to do that. So there's it's me, him, Preto, Chris, and Harold.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's Fumihiko for a long time. If you know Fumihiko, but he stopped coming about.
Speaking of Tony Preto and Tempting Toys, if you want to see a nice little gem from his personal collection, go to the Indianapolis Children's Museum. There just happens to be a Lucky Draw Energon Prime.
Yep.
On display there, and it's from Tony Preto. Well, speaking of, what did you and BotCon offer up to that exhibit? We checked it out as a group last week.
Yeah, Carl called me up like last fall and was like, or texted me, whatever, and was like, hey, I got this really cool thing we can do. I want you to help me. I'm like, all right, what? You know, it's a big opportunity. I'm like, okay, what? And he told me about it, and I was like, that sounds like a lot of work, man. He's like, because I guess they reached out to Hasbro. Hasbro reached out to Brian, and then Brian called Carl, and I was like, well, why didn't you call me? Carl sold all his toys. He doesn't have anything left. So I'm like, all right. So Carl's like, yeah, I really want to help, because you know he's from Indiana. He really wanted to do this, but he didn't have access to all the stuff from 84 through 2002. And I was like, all right, so. He talked me into it. I mean, I'm very glad I helped. But at the time, I was like, man, that's like a big, because, you know, they had this giant list. They wanted to have conference calls, and I've got a little boy, work, everything going on. So I was like, all right, so let's talk about it. So they sent us a list, and I gathered up about 110 toys out of my collection. Carl pulled about 30 to 40 from what he had, still, because they still have some stuff from 2002 and on. So he took care of all this stuff from the from that stuff. And then I talked to Preto because he needed they needed a centerpiece. They wanted a gold. They like asked me. They put on their suggesting of a gold prime. I'm like, well, I don't have a gold prime here. I set up. So I sent out to go. I've got a Star Saber. That's kind of cool. G1. We'll send that out. Like, well, we've already got this case built for a gold prime. I'm like, well, he didn't tell me that. I'm like, oh, geez. So I called up Tony. I said, I figured if anybody had a gold prime, it'd be him. So I said, you've got, you know, any gold primes? He's like, yeah, I've got the Energon one. I was like, and he had the animated one, too. But I was like, well, they were looking at getting the animated one, but Energon one seemed a lot more visually appealing. So I asked him to send that out for him. So he did me a personal favor on that.
So, I will have to say that Beast Wars exhibit with the diorama. I think Cyburn 2 here. I think he would crawl up on top of that exhibit and hug it and just drool all over it because it is all kinds of love.
I was prodigiously impressed. I went out there for the Friday before the exhibit opened, or the Friday preview and then the Saturday media day. So I went out there Friday because that was, you know, a work day for me. It's easy because I work full time. This is my full time job, so I it's easier for me to go out there while I'm working. So I covered that and wrote up some stuff for the magazine, and it was I was blown away. It was
that particular display was like the highlight of that entire exhibit.
I had seen their blueprints, and their planogram. So I kind of knew what they were planning, but to actually see it executed in the band, that big, huge banner with the comics and all that stuff, I was they did a great job.
Yeah, I mean it was definitely an altar for the Beast Wars gods. I mean, Beast Wars was well represented in that display.
I gave him a couple edits. I don't know if I'll have to check to see if they have a couple things that needed to be kind of tweaked as far as the a couple name things and stuff like that.
They had some hilariously mistransformed items there. Funny
thing is, I sent them. They did buy some of the toys themselves. I sent everything out there transformed the way it should be. I was like, this is how you need to put it. So most of that stuff I think got there, but some of the other stuff, they could probably use a helping hand, but you know, it's I can't say anything bad about them. I still, some of the toys I'll look at, I'll transform them, and then someone will say, you got that transformer wrong. I'm like, oh my god, really? Like the newer ones.
Talking about just a panel that's not flipped or something. I'm like weapons put on backwards and arms. It's like, you know, it's like they pulled it out of the package, tried transforming it, said screw it, and then just put it into the slot.
Specifically, like the
There was a Generations Brainstorm that was lacking the weapons, and it was just sitting there, and its arms looked like they were half transformed, and they just said screw it.
R.I.D. Landfill.
Yeah, R.I.D. Landfill.
His head was like 5 miles in front of the rest of his body.
You know. I sometimes will open them up and they'll end up that way too, and I'll just say screw it. I always remind people. The funny thing is I always remind people that I, like all of you or most of you, are. I grew up with the ones we grew up with weren't so much. If people like to try to knock the three-step ones, I'm like, man, we grew up with three-step ones, and those were like the best ones because. You could transform them from robot to whatever you're doing with it quick.
Yeah.
That's the way it used to be. Like the headmasters, man. I love like Hardhead. I remember getting him, and those are my favorite ones because they didn't require, you know, 18
or jump starters, you know. I mean, I'm sure you can go to Mega Toy Fan and get plenty of jump starters.
You definitely
I didn't have to work at all at that point.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I love the Action Masters. But, all right, well, guys, I'm
going to go. So, guys, want to thank everybody for joining us. Pete, thank you for coming on. And Brett, thank you for surprising us.
That was not planned or staged in any way, shape, or form. That was at least
no. And pro wrestling is 100% real. But I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in this week. Check us out on Twitter at TFYLP. Check us out at TFTalk.net and also on Facebook. We have a page and a Facebook group that is pretty active on there, and we're always sharing news and interesting things on there. For Headmaster Don, Jim Black, Michael Swift, and that little short guy there named Megamus, I want to thank everybody, and thank you, Pete, for joining us this week. We will see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.